The assumption is made by, frankly, those who know nothing about what's in the Bible, that the Bible is outmoded. It really has nothing to do with modern life, and it especially has nothing to do with my life. It is filled with a lot of rules and regulations and boring. And when they say that, I know without even asking, you have never read the Bible. Because the Word of God is active, it is alive, and it intersects with our life way more than I want it to be honest. I wish it didn't intersect with my life as much as it does. These past weeks, we've looked at the dreadful deeds and what God has to say about it. I know what disappointment is. I've experienced it, so have you. We looked at God's encouraging word for disappointment. I've experienced delay when I've prayed and it doesn't seem like God is listening, or if he's listening, he really doesn't care to answer my prayer. And I know you have too. And we looked at God's encouraging word to those times when we're experiencing delay. I've experienced doubt in my life. There are certain times when I ask questions and don't understand what's going on. And we looked at God's encouraging word to meet our doubt. I experience doubt, so do you. And then last week, defeat. You know, that at first you don't succeed. Well then, welcome to the human race, because defeat and valleys are a part of life. And we looked at God's encouraging word to that. Well, today, we're going to look at difficulty. When we experience difficulty in life. And we're going to use this outmoded book that has nothing to do with our lives. Because I was trained in it, and I'm going to give it to you. I told you last week that David is my favorite in the Bible. David, without question, is my hero. Because David is a living example of receiving grace and then living it. David had a great need to receive grace because he failed miserably. I can relate to that. And yet, God overcame his failure, and his epitaph was that he was a man after God's own heart. That's the way his life ended. I love David. My all-time favorite in the Bible. But my second is Abraham. I love Abraham primarily because I love the story. I love his life. I love what God did with him. And I love the fact that he demonstrated immense faith in the face of confusion. Starts in Genesis chapter 12 when Abraham was called, and at that time he was Abram. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And here's the first covenant in the Bible, the first promise that God made with his people in the Bible. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And then it goes on. Abraham demonstrates great faith in the midst of some confusion. And he becomes a model for us in how to deal with the confusion in our lives. Also helps us dealing with the testings in our life, as I mentioned before. There's a cartoon about a country preacher, and he had his hands folded, and he was praying and saying, it's just me, Lord. It's just me. And you know, Lord, that I've never asked much of you. You know, Lord, that I don't come to you with frivolous. I don't come to you with much, Lord. But Lord, could you just grant me one thing? Dignity. Dignity. Dignity, Lord. That's all I ask for, just dignity. And then the next frame of the cartoon is a huge zap of a lightning bolt, and he's standing there with his pants around his legs, revealing underwear with hearts on it. And he's saying, "This is a test, ain't it, Lord? This is a test." Fact is, life is a series of tests. Look at what James says. Says, consider it pure joy. In fact, in my Bible, I got this crossed out. This is one of these that intersect too much, and you scratch your head. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? Can we pause there a minute? Anybody see anything a little weird in that? Consider it pure joy when you experience trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I've got message paraphrase on your sermon note page that says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Life is a test. We say that we're believers. Really? Life is a test that tests that. It's easy to say that I'm a believer when everything's going wonderfully. It's easy to say that I'm a believer when everything's going my way. It's yet another thing, and the rubber meets the road, when I experience the tests of life. James says that problems that we have that come to us are actually tests. And in the life of Abraham, we're going to see four tests that he experienced. And even though the circumstances are not the same for us, God will test you in exactly the same four areas that he tested Abraham. And after 23 years of formal education, 23 years I've spent in formal education. And I've learned that it's helpful to prepare for tests. I learned that about year 19. It's helpful to prepare for tests. Now, in fact, the test that I like best is where the teacher gives you all of the questions in advance, you know, like an open book test. I learn a lot more that way and get better grades that way. But the fact of the matter is, some teachers are just downright mean. Do you hear me? Some teachers are just downright mean. They like to keep the test questions hidden and then spring it on you. And then you have to answer them under stress. They want you to get in the room. They want to throw up a screen and put a question on the board, or they want to throw a piece of paper in front of you. But you had no idea that it was coming. Well, that's not the way that God is. God wants you to pass the tests. And in fact, he wants you to pass it so badly that he gives you in advance the way that you're going to be tested. You can count on it. And so you can be tested in these four areas of life, be aware that they're coming, and also receive the encouragement that comes from God's word to be able to pass the test. Does that make sense? Four tests that Abraham experienced that we are experiencing or will experience in the future. Are you ready? Number one is the where test. The first test in life is major change that takes place in your life. God asked Abraham, did you catch it when I read Genesis chapter 12? The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. I want you to sell your home. I want you to take all your possessions. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your friends. I want you to leave everything that's comfortable to you. And I want you to just go. And I'll show you later where you're going. It's the where question. Hebrews 11, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Wow. Does that take faith? The first question is the where question. God, where am I going? Well, I'll tell you later. I'll let you know. How long is it going to take? I'll let you know. How do I know when I get there? I'll let you know. Would you follow God like that? Wow. That's a lot of faith. To go and to trust God so much that you will just go and be assured that good is going to happen. A major change. This was difficult for Abraham. In the first place, let's just, you know, put this into real context. In the first place, he was 75 years old. It's one thing to be, you know, 27, adventurous, and I'm ready to roam all over the world. It's another thing when you're 75. God said, go. Abraham said, I'm ready to retire. God said, no, you're ready to aspire new things. Abraham said, I'm ready for Social Security. God said, no, you're ready for social insecurity. Abraham says, I'm ready to hang it up. And God says, nope, you're ready to get down and dust it off and get going. Abraham says, I'm ready to sit back and take it easy. And God says, you're ready for the biggest adventure of your life. Not only that, Abraham was wealthy. He had a lot of stuff. He had a lot to move. And I don't know if you know this, they did not have Allied Van Lines then. He had camels, cattle, sheep, servants. He was a fat cat in the Mesopotamian city of Ur. And God says, you're going to leave Ur, and you're going to go to a place that you don't know. I want you to follow me. And he picked up everything, and immediately, without excuse, he took off. Now, this is the first test of a real believer. A real believer will follow God's leading without knowing where it will end. Can I say that again? Somebody who loves and trusts God will follow him without knowing where it would lead. Some of you are asking the where question right now. Lord, where do you want me to work? Or where do you want me to live? Or where do you want me to retire? Where do you want me to go to school? It's the where question. It's a major change, and this is a test. God says, start moving and I will direct you. It's the where question. You don't know where it's going to end, but you'll follow him anyway. First test. Second test that Abraham had was the when question. When is God going to come through and answer the when question? When, Lord? When? When, Lord? Have you ever had that when question? When is my foot going to heal? Hear me? Been on my lips a little bit in the last 2 years. When am I going to get out of this rut, Lord? When? You get it. Abraham got it. Hebrews 11, verse 9. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in a tent, and so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom he gave the same promise. Now, there's a word that's used twice in this sentence, and that is promise. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in a tent, and so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Promise is a very word, important word in the vocabulary of faith. The question is when. God said, I'm going to give you the promised land, and Abraham wanted to know when. When is this going to happen? God wants to have us base our lives on promises, not explanations. You get that? I've told you before, there are over 5,000 promises in this book, ready to be seized, ready to be embraced, ready to be lived. And what he wants is us to live on those promises, not explanations. We want all of the explanations to be out on the table, but living by faith is living with the promise of the reliable one, the one that keeps his promises. God promised Abraham the promised land, but after he got there, there was a delay. We've heard that before. There was a delay. In fact, Abraham not only waited his life, I don't know if you catch it, but he waited Isaac's life and he waited Jacob's life. 3 generations and they still were living in tents. There's not a much more temporary way to live than living in a tent. They couldn't even settle down. How would you like to live in a tent for 3 generations? Can you imagine Sarah? Abraham! We're going to get a real home. What's with this tent stuff? I can handle a test in life if I know there's going to be an end to it, if I can see that there's an end. You too? But the hardest kind of tests to handle are the tests in life when you don't know that there is going to be an end. You don't know where that end is. Abraham never gave up. He never went back to Ur. He never said, this is ridiculous. I made a mistake. I'm going back to Ur. Never did that. Here's the lesson. A real believer will wait for God's timing without knowing the when. I will believe in the promise even when I don't know the answer to the when question. Some of you are going through that when right now. When are things going to get better in my marriage? When? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have a baby? When am I going to get well? When are you going to solve my problem? When are you going to answer my prayers? What have you been expecting God to do in your life that hasn't happened yet? Abraham had to wait 3 generations. What are you waiting for? Moses waited 80 years. Noah waited 120 years. Abraham waited a lifetime. God always gives his believers the waiting test. Do you really trust him? Will you keep following him? Even when you don't know the answer to the when. The where question, the first test, the real believer will follow God's leading when he doesn't know where it is going exactly. The when test, a real believer will wait for God's timing when he doesn't know the exact answer to the when. And then the third test that Abraham shows us is the how. How? How is all this going to work out? I don't get how this is going to happen. I don't understand. Hebrews 11, verse 11, it was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child, even though they were old, too old, and Sarah was barren. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. Oh, that's the most important sentence in that. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. Abraham, I want you to leave, go to a land that I'll show you, and I'm going to give you a child. Now, by this time in Abraham's life, his name had changed from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means a father of many nations. A father of many nations. And at that time, names meant something, folks. So that when he walked around and everybody knew his name was Abraham, and Abraham meant father of many nations, what's your name? Well, my name's Abraham. Oh, father of many nations. How many kids you got?
That would be zero. Zip.
How old are you, Abraham?
99.
Father of many nations. Right. I think that's an impossible situation, don't you? An impossible situation. He's 99. Physically impossible. Sarah had already gone through menopause. The Bible says when God said you're going to have a child, what did they do when God said they were going to have a child? You know? They laughed. Really?
Yeah.
I'm 99. Yeah. We're going to have it. And the Bible says Abraham looked at himself and said, no way. It says that Sarah looked at her body and said, double no way. Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed, but God got the last laugh, didn't he? An impossible problem is when you wonder how. How is this going to happen? Not when, not where, but how. How are you going to do this, Lord? Abraham's 99. It's comical. It's a major problem, an impossible situation. Fred Craddock, he tells a story. He went into a restaurant in New York City, little cafe, to buy a hot dog. And there's only two people, and obviously in their 70s, 80s. And Anna is the waitress. She's about 75 years old. And the man saying to her, I'll walk you home, Anna. A lady your age needs somebody to walk you home. Why don't you let me walk you home? You never let me walk you home, Anna. And she said, if you walk me home, the next thing you know, I'll be great with child. And at that point, Fred dropped his hot dog. And he says, you're 75 years old. That you're past that a long time ago. And she said, you remember Sarah in the Bible? You know, that she was in her 70s, 80s. And she became great with child. And the man said, well, how did that happen? And Anna said, she believed in the man upstairs. And not only that, but the mother of our Lord, before she even knew a man, she was great with child. And the man said, how did that happen? And she said, she believed in the man upstairs. And the man said, if I were a woman, I'd be scared to believe in the man upstairs. An impossible problem. How is this going to happen? And some of you are worried and discouraged and down, and you're saying, I just don't know how God is going to do it. And you don't know how God's going to help you. God, how am I going to make ends meet this month? I don't know how he's going to do it. God, how am I going to put my kids through college? God, how am I going to have you heal me? God, how am I going to find time to attend to the most important things in my life? It's a test in life just like Abraham. And you're thinking, how in the world are you going to change my husband? How in the world are you going to change this marriage? How in the world are you going to get through to my child? The how questions of life. True? The test of a real believer. A real believer will expect a miracle without knowing how. Not because the problem is manageable, because the problem sometimes is huge. But we don't look at how big our problem is. We look at how big our God is. And God was big enough to overcome the barriers with Abraham, to make his promise come true. He's big enough to take care of our problems as well. And there's one more test. We see it in Abraham's life, and it's the greatest test, the ultimate test. I'm so thankful that God tells us in advance that it's going to come, because it will come in your life. You can count on it, and that is the why test. It's not the when, it's not the where, it's not the how, it's the why question of life. Why is this happening, God? Hello? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Why? It's the ultimate test. Abraham faced it, and it'll be yours too. Be mine too. This is the test that causes us to ask the question, why? The fact is, there are a lot of things in this world that don't make sense. True? People say it's not fair. It's not fair. Well, who said this world offers things that are fair? Who said that life is fair? God never said it would be fair. That's why there's going to be a heaven and a hell. One day, God's going to make everything fair and right. The things that are unfair now will be settled then. It would be unfair for people like Hitler to get away with what they did, Drew. I believe in hell because of the fairness of God just as much as there's a heaven. God will right things one day. Why? Why? There's an issue here that more people question in the Bible than any other thing in the Bible. It's when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. It's the thing that confuses us all. God asked Abraham, once they had the child, Isaac, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, the miracle boy, the miracle baby, the promised child, the one to whom all of Abraham's hopes and dreams are going to be fulfilled. God says, that's the guy I want you to sacrifice. He represented everything that Abraham held dear. Our response is typical. It's unfair. Why is this happening? Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19 says this. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham was having a test, and it was a test of his commitment. It didn't make sense. It was ridiculous. It was tragic. There was no precedent for this. Now, understand that Abraham didn't know the nature of God. He had never seen Jesus. So he didn't know that God was compassionate and loving. All he knew was that God said, sacrifice your son. It didn't make sense. And there's a lot in this world that doesn't make sense. It's a test of his commitment. And Abraham went ahead and did it. By faith, it says. By faith. That ought to be in capital letters. By faith. Because it took a huge amount of faith for Abraham to take that step. Abraham had no assurance that God would save Isaac or spare him. He didn't have any assurance of that. But look what he did have. Verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. You see, Abraham knew that God had the power to raise him from the dead, to fulfill his promise, if that's where it was going. That was Abraham's confidence. If God can give me a son at 99, when my wife and I are already physically incapable of bearing children, if God can do that kind of miracle, he can raise him from the dead if he could indeed choose. But here's the point of Abraham's life. That's why he's such a great believer. Abraham decided that God has a right to make any demand on my life that he so chooses. Can I say that again? God, the creator of the universe, the creator who gives me life, who every breath I'm dependent on him for, God has a right to make any demand on my life that he so chooses. Abraham shows us that. That's true for you and me too, because God is God. He has a right to make any demands on my life just because he says so, because he's God. You wouldn't even be alive without God. I wouldn't be alive without God. You wouldn't have anything without God. Everything that we have is a blessing from him, a gift from him. And God did raise Isaac from the dead, as you know. Here's the point. Abraham trusted God's purpose without knowing the answer to the why question. Even in the contradictions of life, Abraham, by faith, he believed. Some of you right now are going through the why test in life, and you're asking God, why? God, why did I get fired? Why did you let my spouse have an affair? Why did my kid run off and get into drugs? Why am I going through bankruptcy? Why? Why did I have a miscarriage? Why did you allow my parents to die? Senseless tragedy. And there's nothing wrong with asking the question. I think Abraham did just like we do. Nothing wrong with asking the why God. There's nothing wrong with asking how God. Nothing wrong with asking where God or why God. But the issue is, how do you respond when you don't get an answer, when you don't know all the particulars? When God is silent to the wise, it's a test of the real believer that I will continue to love him and follow him, trust him. It's the test that all of us will face in the future. We'll stand before God with our hands and our hearts open and ask the when, the where, the how, the why questions. And a faithful believer will follow God's direction when he doesn't know where. A faithful believer will wait on God's timing when he doesn't know when. A faithful believer will expect a miracle when he doesn't know how. And a faithful believer will trust God's purpose and his love and his care even when he doesn't know why. That's the test. Abraham passed the test because of his great faith. How's yours? Faithful believer, Abraham demonstrates that for us. How are you doing? Are you passing the tests? He gives it to us in advance, says these are going to happen. And you might be saying to yourself, oh, I flunk. I didn't pass the test of all. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, you know this, Mark chapter 9, verse 24. A man comes to Jesus, says, I want you to heal my son. Jesus says, if you have faith to believe, I'll heal your son. God acts in our lives according to faith. And he says, the man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We went through that with doubts, right? It relates here. Lord, I believe that you're going to answer ultimately the where, why, when questions, the how questions. But help my unbelief. I love it because Jesus healed the boy on the basis of that. It was enough. God, I want to believe. I do believe. Help me with all my doubts. And God said, that's enough. He's healed. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It takes a little faith and a big God to get big results. You may have heard this before. It's true. Mustard seed size faith can move mountains. True. Mustard seed size faith can move mountains. Even in the tests of life. Let's pray together. Father, some in this room right now are asking the where questions, or the when questions, or the how questions, or especially the why questions. Lord, those are tests. When it would be easy to be discouraged, easy to doubt, easy to truly flee and to seek our own answers rather than to follow you and to be faithful. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with trust in your promises, trust in your grace, trust in your power, trust in your strength. You've told us that we can over and over again in your word. You've given us example after example after example of folks just like you and me, just like us, that we sit here as human beings experiencing life. You have given us those examples in the Bible as a means of encouragement. Abraham's meant to be an encouragement to us, Lord, not just an objective story, but one that demonstrates how a frail human being experiences life and yet trusts you, and the outcome is glorious. So I pray that for us, Lord, that you would fill us with faith, that you would, Lord, help our unbelief. You would fill in the doubt corners of our life with the abundance of your grace. So, Lord, minister to us this morning. Fill us with strength and power and trust as we leave here. And may we be living examples each and every day of the Abraham kind of faith that trusts you when we don't know where, trusts you when we don't know how, trusts you when we don't know when, trusts you when we don't know why. Because you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.